It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger, brought to you by Bottle Barn. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
California Wine Country with Dan Berger, my co-host. And we were hoping that Rick Tigner, the CEO of Kendall Jackson, would be in, but we'll have him back in again. We'll have him back in soon because, well, not that soon, but the event is Saturday, August 26th. And we've talked to Rick. He's been in every year to talk about this. It's the KJ Tour de Fox, a charity ride to raise money for the Michael J. Fox Foundation and support the search for a cure for Parkinson's disease. It's returning to Sonoma County for the third year, again, August 26th. So we'll have Rick in to talk about that later on. In the meantime, it's Dan Berger and the wine buyer from Bottle Barn, Barry Herbst. Gentlemen, good to see you both.
Yes. Great to be here.
Good day.
All right, so we're doing some of their picks today.
Chardonnay Day, yeah.
Yeah, it is Chardonnay Day. Thank you. It's like, well, it's not even my birthday.
Yeah, we freaked you out a little bit with that orange wine last week.
Yeah, that orange wine.
Ground you again.
Big challenge to me, I'll tell you.
That orange wine. No, thank you. Okay, so, well, I guess we'll get right into this that we're tasting is a Chard from where?
Well, this is a Chardonnay from Napa Valley, but for the most part, it's coming from Carneros. But there's also a fair bit from Coombsville of Napa. Coombsville is a fairly unknown region of Napa Valley.
I've never heard of it.
Well, it's on the western side of the town of Napa.
C-O-O-M-B-S-V-I-L-L-E,
right, Coombsville.
Oh, not, isn't that Combe?
Well, C-O-O, two O's.
Oh, two O's, okay. Coombsville.
Yeah, I was shocked how much planting and how many new buildings were
eastern side of Napa, the town of Napa, eastern side of Napa, has some fog coming in, and the typical early evening fog, and it stays around on the, hugs the ground. It's a very cool region, and it produces these high acid Chardonnay grapes. And this one is from Freemark Abbey. Now, Freemark Abbey was founded.
They've been around forever.
Well, been around forever. They found it actually in the property itself started making wine in 1904. But the present winery actually began in 1967. And the winemaker, Ted Edwards, has been on the property since about 1969. So he's been around
He's
still there and he's making fabulous wine. This wine is now technically owned by Jackson Family Estates.
Charles Carpy, one of the original.
Charles Carpy and Lori Wood were the two original founders.
Which is why you decided to bring it in, because we thought Rick Tigner, the CEO of Jackson.
Yeah, one of his wines. But this is a fabulous wine. This is one of the best non-malolactic style of Chardonnays that you can buy today. It sells for around $30. Fabulous with the right kind of food. And I would say halibut or swordfish, this is just phenomenal.
All right, you opened this. Poured me a little taste. I smelled it, and I actually, at first, almost my brain went a little bubble gum, and then I thought, I shouldn't say that because I'll embarrass myself. But now
citrus comes out of it more now that it's been open for a little bit. The citrusy note is really kind of interesting. It's sort of like lemon curd almost, and it's got this little bit of oak note in it. What do you think, Barry? What do you think of the wine?
You probably got a little bit of the tropical notes that's natural in Chardonnay, and those get emphasized when they do the malolactic. This doesn't have it, so it kind of blew off. But it's inherent in Chardonnay. It's really high-toned, clean, kind of racy.
It's been open for a few minutes, and now I'm getting a lot of citrus.
Yeah, that kind of
I don't know
over.
Where bubble gum came from. But that,
yeah,
you
it's
know.
Kind of the tropical components. It's natural with the way just the varietal character. The aromatics that are natural in Chardonnay.
Mm. This is a terrific wine with food. And now the second Chardonnay.
Is this a 2015?
This is a
2016.
16.
Oh,
just
we still got 15
brand
in
new.
It's
how long are you going to lay this down, Dan Laydownberger?
Two to 5 years. But see, with five more years, this wine is going to expand because it didn't have any malolactic fermentation, which means that it's fairly young and vibrant right now, but it needs to have some time in the cellar so it expands its aroma. Right now, the aroma is all fruit.
And there are Chardonnays from Napa that you can lay down 20, 30 years. Stony Hill, one of the most famous.
See, that really blows me away.
It's really crisp when they come out, a little bit painful even, and then 5, 10 years down the road, they expand, like Dan was saying, and become really interesting.
That is very strange. Okay, this other one?
No, this other one. Pour this one for Steve. All right, now you've got
to Santa Barbara.
This is the opposite side of the coin. This is 100% malolactic fermentation. It's from Coupe Vineyards.
Coupe, spelled Q-U-P-E.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Bob Lindquist will be our guest in the show next week here, and he's the winemaker for this project.
Really?
Yeah. So he's coming in next week, and he'll explain this wine.
Just in the nose, Dan, I can tell this is 180 degrees from the other one.
Absolutely 180 degrees. 100% barrel fermented and lots of oak, but really
well. Mike's smiling and giving me thumbs up, but it's true.
Yeah.
I've gotten so good at this after all these years.
Have one sip
and you'll
see.
Yeah. Get you out on the floor at Bottle Barn.
You can taste hazelnuts, and the spice note in here is sort of like ginger almost. I mean, it's a fascinating wine. A great structure. The acid in this thing is just as good as this acid in the Freemark Abbey, but in a different way because it has so much more layers of flavor. It's a 2013. Yeah. Just... still on the market.
Wow.
2013.
Yeah, it doesn't taste old in any respect.
I have to say, personally, I like this one better.
Of course. I knew you would. That's why I brought them both. Yeah. And I think the Coupe is a fabulous wine. I adore both of them.
Coupe.
For different reasons.
Q-U-P-E.
Right. Yeah,
from Santa Barbara?
Yes, from Santa Barbara. This is...
Vinacito, famous vineyard.
Vinacito Vineyard, one of the great vineyards in America. Coupe is a Native American poppy. It's a Chumash word, which defines a Native American poppy. Of course, that's a state flower. So this is Bob Lindquist's homage to Old World style Chardonnay. And Barry brought a Chardonnay.
Okay, wait a minute. The Freemark Abbey and the Coupe, both at Bottle Barn?
Well, the 15 vintage of Freemark Abbey is there, and Coupe, I think we might be on a different vintage of this. We definitely have all their wines, but I'm not positive about the vintage.
What does Coupe mean, Q-U-E-P-E?
Chumash is a word for, it's a Chumash word for California poppy.
Oh, okay. You just said that. Sorry. Yeah.
You were focusing on your Chardonnay.
I was.
Delicious wine. Both of them are fabulous wines, but different for different purposes. You serve the...
You mentioned the salmon and the fish with the other one. What about this?
This one is big. This is a big... chewy wine, and it'll go with almost any. I mean, you could serve it with
richer things.
Yeah, it could even go with light roast beef dishes.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
It's gutsy. It's got some power to it, but it's also got plenty of acid to go with any kind of food you want to put it with. So this is really an all-purpose Chardonnay.
This is California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. The wine buyer from Bottle Barn, our friend Barry Hurst, is with us, and of course, my co-host Dan Berger.
Now, Barry brought a Chardonnay.
You're ready to
probably in the.
I'm telling you, it feels like my birthday today.
It's a hit parade for you.
Yeah. All right, let me dump.
So we're going to move in. This is the best of both worlds for you, Chardonnay. And
Barry's spitting into the cups. I'm dumping, but there you go.
Close enough.
Yeah, I love it because you can hear you spitting on the air. I love that.
Gets people in the mood for drinking wine.
So where's this from, Barry?
So this is Sicilian.
Ah,
so this is one of the guys, kind of really innovative early on, decided to plant some grapes that weren't local. And the winery is Planeta. They've been around at least 20 years, probably.
Michael, I need some of this Sicilian Chardonnay.
Kiss the ring and you can have some. So this also in a pretty modern style from what I recall in the past. They use a lot of new oak, barrel fermentation, stirring the lees. Should be a pretty rich style, and
it's very rich, very kind of oily,
butterscotchy.
Almost. Yeah, butterscotch, and it's got a little bit.
Did you say watery?
No, buttery.
Buttery.
It's got that.
Yeah, it is buttery.
Richer,
richer
style.
It seems a little thin to me, but I.
It just needs
compared to the other two.
This needs a couple of more years or a little bit of air. Yeah, it's a fascinating wine.
Now, I do
the
like
aromatics
it.
Are really challenging because I was thinking that it might be aged in walnut. And oak.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a kind of a walnutty
it
note
could
to
be.
The aroma.
I know they experiment with that in Italy, cherry wood, and I've seen a lot of different types of oak down there. So
they call it Chardonnay in Sicilia?
Yeah, yeah. It's labeled just straight up Chardonnay.
Wow.
It's pretty. Not everybody grows it down there. Very few, actually.
I've seen very few.
They're more well known.
Sicilia. As they say down there.
What is the dessert wine there more? Is it Bibo that they're most known for down there?
I can't remember.
Yeah. No, they've got some esoteric sweet wines they're more known for down there. Not a lot of straight Chardonnay wines like this being made.
This is very unusual. This is kind of off the wall, kind of out of left field.
Yeah, so you wouldn't confuse this with a California Chardonnay.
not my favorite. But available for a really good price, I'm sure, at Bottle Barn.
These things tend to be expensive.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets great reviews every year.
Yeah, the problem is, in order to make a wine like this, you have to grow your fruit really, really small crops, very small crops. You can't get the concentration unless you have small crops, and therefore this is an expensive wine to make.
Yeah.
So what's the retail?
$32.50.
Okay.
Oh, that's, it's about...
Yeah, I think the MSRP on this is around $50. So,
but at Bottle Barn,
$32.50. Cut it to the bone.
Yeah. So you got the three Chardonnays, different styles,
three
all together.
Really different expressions, definitely.
And
it's my birthday.
One thing I was thinking about was that we have started to make Chardonnay in California slightly differently over the last, I would say, 5 years. We've had really good vintages from 2010, which was a really good vintage, and then 11, 12, 13. We've had a number of good vintages for acid, so and especially 10 and 11 were really high acid vintages. So we've begun to see a slightly different, more acidic style of Chardonnay coming into the marketplace, and the public seems to like this. I mean, they're selling, so no complaints yet.
Yeah. You know, I think we talked about this last week, and we have in the past, I know. But, Dan, talk about the acidity. You know, when... people who aren't heavy into wine like you guys, they hear acid or acidity, and it kind of can be a negative.
Well,
now, but you're always talking about the acidity in wine.
To me, a good quality Chardonnay, like any of these three, they're aimed to go with food. If you want to sit around on a patio and just drink this stuff, go buy a rosé or a Riesling or something like that. This stuff, these wines right here, are aimed for food. And if you don't have the acidity, it won't go with food. It becomes, if it's too soft, then it becomes sort of a sipping wine. And sipping wines are fine. They're enjoyable.
How does the acidity come to be?
I don't want to be too technical here, but what we need is a saliva in our mouths to appreciate the food. And the more acid there is in the wine, the more we salivate, the more the food tastes better. And if we can do all those things at the same time, then this works perfectly.
Keeps the wine lively, too. Keeps it fresh tasting.
And you want to take a second sip. If you've got a sweet wine in your mouth when you're eating food, you're bored with the wine and you don't drink anymore.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
We came out of an era where the really ripe, over-the-top, creamy, more of a cocktail wine. It wasn't really with the idea of food. And they would get a little cloying and clumsy and not age very long. And now we've kind of starting to find our balance where wineries are doing a little bit of malolactic fermentation, a little bit of new oak, but kind of keeping it in balance. And then we've had weather's been cooperating.
Yeah, we've had
long, cool summers.
Since 2010, 11, 12, we've had some a succession of really good vintages to make these kinds of wines.
Yeah.
Well,
fascinating stuff.
What else are we talking about here? I know one thing I wanted to bring up, and we'll talk about this. Because the CEO of Kendall Jackson was going to be with us. He's been with us many times and every year to talk about the Kendall Jackson Tour de Fox, a charity ride to raise money for the Michael J. Fox Foundation and support the search for a cure for Parkinson's disease. Rick will be back with us. The event, we have plenty of time because the event is not until Saturday, August 26th. It is a bike ride. Riders of all experience levels are invited. It's a big, fun day of fresh air, exercise, etc.
Lots of food and wine.
Yeah, lots of food and wine, without question. You can join the Wine Country Tour de Fox ride and experience a whole new perspective on wine country. They aim to raise $500,000 this year, $500,000 to support the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's disease. And as I said, we will get Rick back in before that.
Yeah, and Jackson family does such wonderful work. The company's focus is quality, but also quality with a purpose, that is to send wine and food together, make a combination of flavors. And then, of course, their charitable work is just wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
And they've been supportive of so many different events in Sonoma County. It's wonderful.
He was on Undercover Boss.
That's TV show,
yeah.
Yeah,
he was, I saw it, he was amazing. That was such a funny show and very cool. And I will tell you, the first year, 3 years ago they did it, and Rick and his wife were in here to talk about this. She suffers from Parkinson's disease, and she's doing okay, and we're so glad to hear that. But it's the third annual Tour de Fox coming up in August 26th, and we'll talk a lot more about
that. And there are
that.
Different lengths of rides.
Yeah.
There's various lengths.
All riders of any experience can get
even
involved.
Even amateurs are encouraged
exactly.
to join.
Is there like a 2 mile ride, 1 mile?
I don't know. Can you do
that's about...
That's
about my limit.
My limit's about 88 feet.
Mine is 20 feet.
So, he wins.
Yeah.
Closest to the bottle.
I'll beat you. We should just race around the KSRO parking lot. And, we'll both be exhausted. California Wine Country brought to you by Bottle Barn. And my co-host Dan Berger, of course, is here. And Barry Herbst, the wine buyer at Bottle Barn, is here. We're tasting interesting stuff here, including something from Freemark Abbey. That was a Chard. And talk Chardonnay. About that briefly. Let's recap.
So that's a 2016 Chardonnay from Freemark Abbey, which I actually had at lunch today. It's fabulous. And then the wine is from essentially from the cooler region of Napa Valley called Coombsville, as well as Carneros. Zero malolactic fermentation, so therefore the acid was never affected. And then the other wine, 2013 Coupe, Q-U-P-E, from Bob Lindquist, who will be our guest in studio next week. He is a terrific winemaker.
He's driving out from Santa Barbara?
Yes, sir. Well, he wants to be on the show, so he's coming up.
Wow. I like the Coupe better than the Freemark Abbey.
The Coupe is just sensational.
Yeah, but I like the Freemark Abbey,
and
too.
And the Freemark is going to be great. With
cool side note on Freemark Abbey. They've got a great restaurant there now at the winery.
A fabulous restaurant.
Doug Keene, formerly of Cyrus, is partner.
Douglas Keene, yes.
Right.
He's my Detroit brother.
Yeah. Yeah. Two birds, one stone.
Two birds, one stone.
Yeah. That's right.
I haven't been there yet, but everyone I've talked to.
Oh, and the restaurant is gorgeous. It's stunning.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just absolutely fabulous.
He came in to talk about it right after they opened, and I had forgotten that it was at Freemark Abbey.
Yeah.
Well, they've renovated Freemark Abbey about 90%. It's just unbelievable. It's a transformation I've never seen before.
Mike just told me. We talked about the guy coming in from driving up from Santa Barbara to be on the show.
That's correct.
Our brewery tomorrow on Brewhaha is allegedly flying in from Thailand specifically for Brewhaha.
That's
he.
Whoa.
It's the award.
Okay.
Whoa. We are bad and worldwide.
That's correct.
There you go.
Oh, man. Okay. So. Barry, talk about the shard you brought. Just to recap.
Sicilian shard from Planeta, 2014. Year after year, it gets big scores in Wine Spectator
really?
And Robert Parker. I found it pretty exotic, though. I thought it would be a little more international, like a Napa or a Sonoma shard. But it's got its own thing going on, kind of a slightly oxidized quality. And kind of a spicy, earthy, picked up walnut in it.
Walnut, little burnt wood kind of
character. Probably would need some food to go with this, but it's got quite a track record, and the critics certainly of it.
And it's from Sicilia, as they say there.
Land of sunshine down there.
Wait a minute. I'm getting an update from Mike. Mm-hmm. Oh, tomorrow is Brussels. Are they flying in from Brussels?
Wow.
They're flying in from Thailand on the 10th of August. Okay, so people are traveling all over the world just to be on this show.
I need a flowchart to keep track.
We're ready for it. You got Burgundy over here, don't you, Burgundy?
Yeah. Are you ready to move into France?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
So here we have, we've got the next vintage of the century coming out in Burgundy, 2015. So the importers are feeling anxious to move on with the 2014 vintage.
They're scrambling.
Yeah. And so this is a lot of times where you can find great deals of wines that 10 years from now really surprise you. You take them out of the cellar. They weren't super attractive young but become amazing. And they're usually about a third the price of the vintage of the century.
How do you pronounce this?
This is the village is Chambon Musigny, or the wine Chambon Musigny. Producer is Frederick Magnan. And this is 2014 in Vieuxvigne, old vines. Kind of a village known for more feminine expression of Pinot Noir. So everything in Burgundy that's red generally is.
And a great vintage would be, this would be $90. This is Pinot Noir of a very distinctive order. This is a wine, Steve, let me tell you, when I talk about laying away, this is laid away wine. This is a wine you wait 15 to 20 years before you ever drink a bottle.
Oh, my God.
And this stuff is really tough to evaluate when it's young because it's so compact. It's Pinot Noir like you don't usually see.
But it tastes great.
Well, it tastes great, but it's just a shadow of what it will be.
Yeah, when it ages, it just layers out and gets this kind of gamey quality in the best possible way of gamey.
Yeah, they call it marred.
Yeah, exactly. And it gets bacon fat, and other qualities are really interesting with age.
Isn't that the French word for S?
That's correct,
exactly.
Sir.
Yes,
absolutely.
The
correct.
S-bomb. Okay, thank you.
So this is going to be how much, Barry?
So it looks like if I buy it on this closeout deal, it'd be $45. So basically half the MSRP, which
really?
$45 for Burgundy is kind of on the lower end of the game these days.
It's ridiculous. You don't see Burgundy of this quality for this kind of price. You never see it.
Go to Bottle
Barn,
folks.
We're in the evaluation process, and I think I've evaluated that I'm going to bring this one in. So
that's a beautiful wine. Plenty of acid to go for the distance. This is at least 10 years in the bottle, at least.
Yeah, that's going to be a beauty down the road.
However, sure. 10 years in my trunk would not help. Right?
Probably not, but you might be stuck on a desert island somewhere, and your car would be your greatest asset. You know?
Exactly.
I always say that my trunk is my wine cellar. Okay. Yeah.
Good wine, but not...
Even not for, I can see laying this down for a long time.
Oh, yeah. It's just a baby. It doesn't have any development at all. Now, do you have another one there?
I do.
Oh,
and
my
so
God.
One,
okay.
We'll go a little further north of this village.
My dump bucket is getting full.
There you go. You'll fertilize the plants like I did.
So yeah.
Which one is
the wine?
What district?
So now we are in the village of Gevrey, and they usually name these after the village first and then their most famous vineyard, which is Chambertin afterwards. So this is in the north. This is Philippe Rivera, and the vineyard is Enchamp in Gevrey Chambertin.
Oh, it's Vineyard Desi.
Yep.
It's a crew.
Yeah, and it's old vine. And so,
what year?
Crew, but it's a
14. They're trying to close out the 14s because the 15s coming along and everybody
in France.
15.
Yeah.
This is going to be a lot of money.
This is the same deal. $45 in the store, and I think MSRP again $90. So,
gee.
That's a nice wine.
Now,
it's a little more masculine, a little beefier. Probably,
beefy is the word,
serve it with lamb.
I mean, you can serve it with lamb, yeah, for sure.
Rack of lamb.
I would put this in a decanter for about 2 or 3 hours before I open it, before I drink it, because there's a gutsiness to this wine.
And this has already been open 3 hours, probably.
It just needs more time,
Just a baby, and you can tell the concentration's there. It's just kind of an earthiness and sauvage that we don't normally get here in California.
Yeah, we don't. I'll make a Pinot Noir. We have a Pinot Noir here, by the way, which we will serve. And after we have plenty of time. Okay.
It's a stunning landscape, too, if you ever visit Burgundy. There are all these super small parcels, small villages, and the cuisine's pretty stunning.
Yeah.
I can handle about a week of it, though, and I'm ready for a salad. But it's fantastic.
They eat a lot of meat there.
A lot of meat, a lot of rich sauces.
Yeah.
Matches the wine fantastically.
At some point, you can hear your arteries clogging.
Yeah.
This is good wine, Barry. Yeah. This is going to be. Are you going to bring this one in?
Yeah. These will probably both be in the store shortly.
That's fabulous.
Week, so.
Dan, is this your favorite of the day?
I like the Chambon Musigny for what it is. I think it's really nice wine. It's a beautiful wine. If I had to put my money down for $45, I'd buy the Gevrey Chambertin all day long. This is really it's a very serious wine.
I think it's right now it tastes like it has the most potential for.
Oh yeah, this has got not only more potential, but you can just imagine if you opened it up now, put it in the decanter for a couple of hours. Whew. A couple of more hours than this, even.
Yeah, and then if you wait for the 15s, there's going to be no discounting in that vintage. It will be $90.
Oh, it'll be more than that.
Yeah.
Because everybody's crazy about
that.
They'll
get big scores, and that'll be if you can even find it. So especially in Burgundy, there's a real vintage myopia that people just focus on that one vintage, and then 10 years later, the guys that bought the quote-unquote off vintage are really happy because they pull them out of the cellar, and there isn't a huge difference between the two.
We don't use vintage in the United States the way they do in Europe. In Europe, a vintage that's very good, the prices go up, and vintages that are very mediocre, the prices go down. The United States, prices stay the same every year or go up.
Yeah.
They never go down.
Yeah. Pretty stable here.
Yeah. We're not exactly sophisticated in our pricing situation.
Property just keeps going up. Prices keep going up.
So both of these, retail, suggested retail price, $90, but at Bottle Barn, $45.
Yeah, we'll bring them in and they'll be at $45, which...
Unbelievable.
Actually, compared to the higher-end Sonoma Pinots now...
Now, a lot of wine shops will not take a flyer on something like this because it basically requires that you put some money into inventory that you're going to hold on to. Mm. And this is a risk. Retailers don't like risks. They like a sure thing. They like to bring something in, sell it out before they have to pay for it.
But Barry, explain that because, you know, for 9 years we're talking Bottle Barn and explaining how they have the best prices in wine country for everyone. So how do you get two bottles of $90 wine and sell it for $45? It's because of the quantity you guys have?
It really comes back to our consumer base, which is remarkable. You know, a lot of stores I've worked in the past, you got to sell all Cabernet or you're really Chardonnay, Pinot centric or just values. But we have this amazing consumer base around us of winery owners, production people.
Sure. Where wine country buys their wine, as I say.
And just well-heeled residents in the area, from the outlying areas, people that know wine, they buy across the board, which puts us in a great position because if we're buying wines across the board, people are coming to us right away with deals, and they know that it'll get moved along, and they're not going to get nickel and dime.
Yeah, and the other thing about
it's not going to just sit there for a long time.
We buy one case, and they never hear from us again. Right. They'll get reorders over and over.
The other thing about Bottle Barn that sets it apart from about 70 or 80% of the other shops is that people will come to you with items like this that are being specially discounted. They know you understand because you have a long history with these kinds of wines. Yeah. The average wine buyer has never tasted a Gevrey Chambertin.
Yeah, really, especially in Burgundy, you got to navigate the producers, navigate the years, navigate the vineyards. Everything has to kind of converge to get the right wine. And then, you know, once you find it, you lock into it, and you got to pass that on to your customers.
I got to know Barry in the 70s.
Yeah, you mentioned that once. Talk about that. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, we were.
Because Barry looks like he's 40.
That's right. And I'm 47. So.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I just turned 36 today.
There we go. We're all in the same. Barry and I got together as observers of the wine scene. Probably as early, I'm guessing at about 79, 80, in that range.
In L.A.?
In Los Angeles area. And Barry was really one of the most astute of all of the buyers. And he's floating around these wine tastings. We would go to tasting after tasting. We'd see each other. And we're always on the same wavelength, these wines. And I made a lot of mistakes first. Well, I made a lot of mistakes, too, but I didn't write about them until later.
I was staring at inventory a lot, and then I realized I better get a little smarter about this.
But he worked at this game. It's tough. It's a really tough business to be in. Sommeliers know this. You work your
butt off. And he's a sommelier.
Well, there are all kinds. This is a career choice. This is not one of those things where you just simply decide you're going to get into it. You work at it.
Mm-hmm. Right. I could never escape it.
No,
I couldn't learn anything else as well as wine.
One of my favorite people is Ron Washam.
Oh yeah,
former sommelier from Los Angeles, funniest guy I know.
Pacific Dining Car,
Pacific Dining Car, great guy. And here's a guy who takes it with a grain of salt. I mean, how about a pound and a half of salt.
Yeah. He just was retiring his blog this week, the Hostmaster.
Is that right?
He's going on hiatus.
Oh, that's too bad.
Unfortunately. Everybody, I think, is going to miss that. He really infused a lot of great humor.
Former comedy writer.
Yeah. Infused some comedy into a business that really needs it to counteract the pretentiousness that is out there that
Too much of it.
Yeah.
Too much of it.
Yeah. Well, not
here. We've got that reputation.
No, we just drink the stuff.
Not here. We're wrapping up this week's edition of California Wine Country with Dan Berger today, and you're coming back next week, right? With us most of the time, Barry.
Oh, yeah, Barry's here all the time.
Okay, good. Barry Herbst, the wine buyer at Bottle Barn, is with us.
Next week, Bob Lindquist from Coupe.
Who's flying from...
Driving.
He's flying from the planet Zetok. We've got all these people who are driving or flying from various places just to be on the drive. It's very weird.
When I make this suggestion...
But I'm very impressed.
When I just say, hey, can you be on my radio show? Just say when.
Okay, cool.
Hey,
I love it. Okay, and finally today, we're... wrapping it up with Windgap from Peshmel.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been in before.
Pax Mall.
Oh, okay. That's different than Peshmel.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, well, then maybe Pax hasn't been in. Peshmel's been in many times.
Peshmel's been on. That's John Pepe.
Right.
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 Okay.
Our friend John
Pax Mall is the whole different ballgame. So
okay, well, explain Pax Mall.
Pax is the name of the guy, and Pax is a phenomenal winemaker. Great sense of humor and wonderful strategist on wine because his wines usually are reflective more of the soil than if he had a marketing guy involved in his operation, they would tell him not to do what he's doing.
Right.
But he makes great wine. And this stuff is delicious. This is just fabulous. This is Windgap Pinot Noir from
Sonoma County
from Russian River and from Sonoma Coast, I guess you could say. And it's 2000, what is that, 14, is it?
14.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 2014 Pinot.
Right. So this one is...
And low in alcohol.
Yeah, 12.5% alcohol. And the reason, more than anything else, is that I think he shies away from trying to make a blousy wine, something that's fat and rich. Here's the wine is just loaded with flavor. The interesting thing is the color of the wine is pale. But what's really nice is that it's loaded with flavor.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Good
wine.
Pinot Noir, really beautiful.
Winery is named after that Petaluma Wimgat, here where I live,
sure.
Where they're trying to. It's the next AVA.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
And this wine's going to be around $30 a bottle, and it'll.
$2 a bottle at Bottle Bar.
There we go.
I'm hesitant to tell
exactly
the prices. I don't want to get cut off from these wineries. Sometimes they don't like it. So
yeah.
Let's
I understand.
Just low
20s, I understand.
In that ballpark.
I understand. I got 1 minute, Barry. Great to see you as always.
Yeah.
And folks, you want the best deals in wine country on wine, beer, spirits, everything. It's Bottle Bar.
I should pitch our Pinot Noir tasting. I think I gave the wrong date on the last time. It's August 30th. We're going to have another public taste or with our customers where you buy tickets, walk around at the Hyatt.
And we're hoping to broadcast live.
Yeah, we're hoping to broadcast live there, and it'll probably be 40 or 50 different Pinot Noirs from California, and winemakers, producers will be there. And it'll be a really good deal like the rosé tasting was. Sign up for the Insider on our website, and you will get notice of it when it comes out. It'll probably be sent in the next 2 weeks, the announcement.
All right, and we'll talk more about it next week at bottlebarn.com.
That'll sell out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I hope.
The last one did at the Hyatt.
Yeah, it was just 2 days. So.
All right, I'm about to get the 10 fingers here. Dan, as always, a pleasure. We'll see you next week.
And the harvest is beginning.
Yeah, here we go.
10 days from now at the most.